Dirt and Sprague.
Justice Bear. Getting in front of that attempt. Here's Blake with Stan Colvin. Score! 3-0 Carolina. And Stan Colvin on the feed from Blake.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brendan Sprague.
63-57. Fire with 1:38 remaining. Late running the show. Tosses on the throwback. Booner hoists the three. Oh! Booner delivers! Time out, Connecticut!
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right! 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. In the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Happy Thursday, everybody. How we doing?
We're a little rummy this morning, not going to lie.
We're rummy? We're gin rummy?
No. Is that not a phrase? That was a parent's phrase. When they were worn down, they would say they were a little rummy this morning.
No, I've never heard it before, but, you know, we got that. Look, there's that 10-year age gap here. It's only 10 years between us where those words and phrases might be a little different. Is it 10? Is it 15? Is it 30? I don't know.
I think it's 15, but yeah.
Well, great to have you in. We have no dirt today.
No.
He's got to go golf.
He has to.
I got to be honest. I was kind of being a little bitch about this yesterday at my house. I was show prepping, and I'm like, this dude's missing a show to go golf with Dusty. What are we doing? But then I'm like, man, he's golfing at a pretty nice place. I looked it up. Looks amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the nicer country clubs down in the valley.
But he's going to go shake hand and kiss babies with all the big wigs down in Eugene today.
There you go.
Hopefully golf with Dan Lanning or Dante Moore.
Well, we should.
Or the ice cream cone flavor coach. Fingers crossed on that one.
We need to. Well, it's good. He needs to develop because, let's face it, 98-99% of the guests that get booked are between you and me.
98?
Yeah.
I'd like you to point out the 2%. I'd say 99.7.
Well, when you're gone.
Uh-huh.
We'll get Tyson Alger.
Okay.
We'll get Kyle Gustafson.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I'll give you Gusty. Okay.
99%.
Right. Yeah. I'd say 99. Yeah. That's all right. We all have our strengths.
We all have our
show.
Strengths. He handles a lot of the social media and the
he does a lot of
the
that.
Posting
yes.
and all that for the show.
That is where he is exceptional. We have, and it's like an unspoken thing for us.
Yeah. We have our roles. We understand it.
Yeah.
We know where we need to, but then when somebody's gone, like we have to figure out, okay,
who's picking up the slack
in certain
areas.
Who's picking up the slack
then. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
But yeah, but maybe he can maybe make a nice contact or development and we can get, it's very difficult for us to get Oregon football guests during the season because.
We're the home of the Ducks.
We're the home of the Ducks, but they're practicing and meeting during our show. It is not for a lack of effort.
Yeah. Well, I'd say not for a lack of effort on our end.
Yes.
More so down there, they're very busy. And so, like, the windows for yes. us are not as open. I do hope he genuinely does meet one of the coordinators
exactly.
or a player.
It'd
like,
be
I've always,
great.
I've always thought it'd be cool to have a player. And I know the practice window is usually during our show. But I've also been told that there's a chance, and I don't know what those chances are. Maybe he is already at the tee box with Jorgie. I don't know. But I've also heard there's a chance that he plays with, like, the volleyball coach. And I'm like, what?
Oh, is this all? I just thought it
was
football.
I think it's like a big Oregon.
Oh, it's everything.
Now, the players, I think, are involved in this.
Gotcha.
There's going to be a player for every.
Oh, at every hole.
Every foursome.
Okay.
So he might be playing with a player.
Gotcha.
But is that Tuioti or is that a linebacker I've never heard of before?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I don't know who he's going to play with. I do hope it's a mover and a shaker in some way. I'm really hoping it's the ice cream flavor guy so he can drop a random strawberry.
How do you feel about Spumoni?
Dusty had a really good point. He's like, what if you just, it's all quiet on the green. You have a big birdie putt. You sink the putt. You grab the ball, you turn, you look at the guy, and you go, chocolate. Like, hey, I'm not hesitating on this at all. So I hope that's what it is.
Yes.
So we'll have to wait and see on it. I also am wondering how much of this is Dirt moving and shaking and Dusty trying to wrangle in a really good golfer for his foursome, so they score well. Not that Dusty's not a good golfer.
No.
I've only golfed with him, I think, once or twice.
Yeah.
And he's okay. But yeah. Dirt is a different level of good when he's locked in.
Yeah, when he's locked in.
He's the second best golfer at the station.
Yes.
And we know that. Even if he's not locked in, I'd probably say he's the second best golfer at the radio station behind One Rop.
Yeah.
But when he's locked in, he's a pretty good golfer.
Exactly. Much like Tiger, he's got to get his feels back after coming off of, you know.
He says he's feeling it. He played around not too long ago. Said it's starting to kind of, the powers are coming back to him a little bit.
Got to get the feels.
So he is going to be out today. He's down in Eugene. Maybe I'll text him at some point during the show, get a score update or how it's all going update.
Yeah.
Pass that along to you guys.
Who's in his foursome?
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea.
What are we doing?
So he's out today. Swag is running on maybe 3 hours of sleep. He's been dealing with, you know, family stuff. We've documented that on the show.
Yeah, we had a little scare. Had to go to the hospital late last night, so.
It's okay. That's what this four-hour window, unless you get a text or a call, it's a great distraction for you.
Yes.
Get to unplug. You get to run on no sleep, and we get to be kind of crazy here.
No, I'd love that.
It's a little bit of a trust tree.
Me, you guys don't know how much I missed this. And wanted to get back. I mean, because I would show up like on a rant. My travel was all different. It wasn't like Saturday to Sunday sort of thing. I would show up on a Monday and then leave and come back and I'd do a Friday show.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, what are you doing here? And it's like, you don't.
No, I know what you're saying. And I agree with you. Like we were randomly talking about, I think it was when you were out. Like if something happens in our individual lives, how are we handling events? And I think I've come to the conclusion, now this is easier said than done, I think I've come to the conclusion I would keep showing up unless like something prohibited in a time window, because I don't know what I'm doing if I'm not here.
Yeah.
Not that I wouldn't be feeling certain ways or processing stuff. It's more like what I don't know why I wouldn't do it. It's a good unplugging of maybe some real hard situations.
Something
that life provides.
Something will be funny, whether it's intentional or unintentional.
Oh, I mean, it's great.
Something will make you laugh and just, yeah.
I mean, I've already got off to a rip-roaring start here. I burnt my finger on my ironing board this morning because I'm wearing a white T-shirt, but it had like one too many wrinkles.
You were ironing your T-shirt.
I was ironing a T-shirt.
Who's the infamous athlete that always ironed? Oh, what was the
iron their jersey?
No, they ironed all their T-shirts. And I can't remember if it was a college athlete or if it was an NBA player. But there was somebody, notorious for like ironing their T-shirts every day and stuff.
If there's too many wrinkles, I get to a point where it's like I don't want to be wearing a wrinkly.
You don't
shirt.
Throw it in the dryer real quick.
I tried.
Like on the,
it didn't
the
work. So that's okay. So I woke up. I get processing right. I take a shot of espresso. I'm like, all right, it's gonna be a fun little show. I put this shirt in the dryer for about 15 minutes, and you know, I do everything you need to do. And I'm like, all right, that'll be good. It goes off. I pull it out. Still wrinkled.
Mm.
I'm like, that's too many wrinkles. Go get the ironing board, set it all up. It gets hot. I put it down. Now it's 4:23 a.m. I've burned my finger. All right? Then I finally get everything done. I head out of the house. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get to the station earlier than normal today. Me and Swag are going to hang out and get the show ready. So I'm on my way, except I have not made a coffee. And I need another energy drink.
Oh,
so
no.
I stop at a local corner store. Okay?
There you go.
I know it's open. I know the guy that works there. He's super nice. I go in there, and lo and behold, there's an old man with a little yap dog. Now, this is 4:50 a.m.
What could this... Clearly retired?
Clearly retired. Okay. I mean, this is a guy that you'd probably see walk into a McDonald's at 5:15 and sit down with his buddy.
Gotcha.
So there's a guy with a little yap dog, and the yap dog's on the ground. I walk in. I see it, but I'm not, like, really thinking about it. Snaps at me.
Of course it does. Yep. That's like, what those dogs do.
Lunges at me, and it's got a little harness, and he's like, whoa! And he yanks it back, and he makes a joke, and I'm not stopping and having this conversation. So I grab my energy drink, I turn around and there's two people that I did not see now in front of me in line.
Oh.
The old man, by the way, still talking the cashier's ear off. So now I got one guy ahead of me that's buying pizza that they make pizza this early in the morning. He's now buying pizza, so now we're grabbing slices. The old man's still talking to the cashier. And then the guy in front of me has nothing but loose change to pay with his breakfast sandwich. So now I'm dealing with yap dog yapping, old man yapping, pizza getting guy, and loose change bro paying for a breakfast sandwich. I was in the corner store for about 13 minutes. This is a grab-and-go situation that has now morphed into a sit-down-and-wait situation. So now I walk out. I finally get through this line, and I am now I'm just on normal time. I'm not getting in any earlier. I get out of the car, have my backpack. I got to charge because I'm a soy boy with an electric car.
Yeah, at least there were slots this morning for us. Thank
and that's
you.
What I thought. I was like, hey, the day's turning around.
There we go.
Charging. Backpack gets caught in the door. It yanks off my shoulder in the parking lot. Now it's in the door, but I got to get the charge first. The app didn't work. It crashed. I restarted it.
There you go.
I came in here finally feeling okay. And then you're talking to me off air, but your microphone in the studio is dead silent.
Yeah.
I can't hear you talk. So rip roaring
little
Thursday. Which
is opposite. Usually you're telling me, Swag, stop. It's like a megaphone.
Usually it's way too
loud. It's like the Peanuts teacher right in your ear. Wah,
yes.
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. And today it's like.
Yeah, I'm the low talker all of
like,
a sudden.
What
and
is
next
going
thing
on?
We know, you're wearing a puffy shirt. So.
Ah, dude, it's a Thursday.
It's Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
That's the good thing.
Yeah. I got a couple good things for the Magic Hat. I'm still trying to. I really want some audio.
Okay.
I'm trying to find an audio thing.
Gotcha.
Because the stories I largely have aren't audio based.
Oh, okay.
But it's a Magic Hat.
I am struggling to find something to throw into. Because there was something. What did we get to yesterday? There was a sports story. I was going to hold it, and then we got to it yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You guys brought it up.
Well, I have a couple sports stories in there. I also have some like Portland-based things I want to get to in it. But the Magic Hat Thursday always feels a little more exciting. I think the unexciting thing is I actually gave the hockey a good look yesterday, and it was fine until the third period happened, and our old Tommy Two Nickels might be ripping Canada's heart out.
Yeah.
That game, I thought it was going to be like an overtime. Who's going to score first thing, and then wham,
well,
bam,
no,
thank you, man.
No, that all came in the first period.
What, the goals?
The three goals.
Oh, that's right.
Was in
I
the
had
last
reversed.
5 minutes of the first period.
I'm thinking of the empty netter at the end to make it 4-0. Because there was like the hope going into the third period, maybe.
Exactly.
Could they? And then instead, Montreal kind of rolled over, died. Fans were gone with like 4 minutes left.
Yep.
And I'm like, this was a bit of a dud hockey game.
Yeah.
So Tommy D might be ripping the hearts out of Canada right now. And I'm not mad about it.
No.
I was expecting a better game. You gave me nothing.
That's true.
Your sport kind of sucked last night.
Well, the Habs have a little bit of an issue right now. They can't get pucks on net.
They're not getting any shots on goal is what
no.
I heard. They had, what, 12 in game?
Something
game
like that.
Game three?
Yeah.
How many did they finish with last night?
Around the same.
It felt like Carolina had the puck the whole time I watched.
I will, let me go pull up the old.
So I tried to get my hockey on, and then I started laughing because I remembered the show yesterday where you guaranteed basically the Mariners would win, and they blew out the A's.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, the Fire are easily going to beat the Sun, and they were up, and then they choked away the lead.
Yeah, third period was a little scratchy.
It was a pretty tough one, and then even midway through the fourth, you're like, oh, my God. And then they went on the giant run at the end, and they ended up winning again.
So they put that one away.
So we can't tank for Juju anymore. I think that's...
Yeah, that's going to be tough to do.
It's probably going to be done. I have a sneaking suspicion the Sparks are going to be jumping into this because it's L.A.
Yeah, well, Kelsey Plum went down.
She went down in practice.
And then
Connecticut is moving to Houston. What would be great for an upstart, relocated team?
Yeah.
A superstar player. And I'm not even sure we would draft Juju. That's a hot take. I don't even know if we were number one. Would we draft Juju? Or we draft a European player nobody's heard of?
Exactly.
Because they play the game the way the coach wants them to.
Well, maybe I don't know. I think they have more on their eye in a couple of years. I mean, how great would it be for Jazzy Davidson to come home? But she's still got a couple more years.
She's got about, I think, two more until she's eligible.
Yeah.
But the amount of money you make in college, she's probably going to stay for four, right? Because it's 3 years in college for ladies?
I believe it's three. And then I don't know how much. I think finally all the details, they finally.
Of the
I
restructured CBA?
The new CBAs finally all the fine print has been printed and it's all in there.
But
so
the
how
amount they
fast,
make in college versus even being a top whatever pick is.
Well, but if this
crazy.
Legislation's going to go through and they actually get a salary cap in college sports.
You think this legislation's going to pass? The Cody Campbell bill that's masqueraded as the Ted Cruz bill?
Yeah.
You think that's what's going to pass? I don't know about that, man. I think a lot of people hated that bill.
Probably.
They called it bipartisan because Maria Cantwell's on it. But
yeah, Washington's own.
Yeah, delightful individual, that Maria Cantwell. I don't know if it's going to pass. But it could be good for the sport if they can. See, it's more about not government being involved. It's more like how these
they
individuals
just need to
can't
have,
sit down in a room and figure this out.
There's that.
That and pisses me off.
They need some consistent set of rules that apply across the board to everybody. But if you don't collective bargain with your non-employee employees, then I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, last night was a tough one, though, in sports. The Fire winning is always, you know, it's a fun, hey, it's a comeback win. The hockey kind of sucked, and my baseball team got bludgeoned.
Well, the
yesterday.
Hops are on a three-game winning streak, so.
Yeah, you can't stop the feeling, man. The mojo's good over there in Hillsboro.
They're finally starting to get it going.
I know I've said it before to you in years past, but I really am going to make a hard, concerted effort this summer to make my way out. I really want to see
the new
ballpark.
Is absolutely gorgeous.
I've actually heard great reviews on it.
And there's whatever level of experience you want to spend some dough, go in the club, have the all-inclusive and all the food and the beer and the wine and do everything up and make a night out of it. It's great.
I want you to hook me up with the experience because I haven't said this on air. You kind of owe me. So without airing too much dirty laundry, a couple years ago, I wanted to go to the Oregon State, Portland State women or Portland game, women's game. You said you'd give me tickets. You never came through on that.
Wow.
And then about 3 years ago, I told you I wanted to go to the 4th of July game. You said no problem. I told you I needed like 8 tickets. You offered me like 2. So you've kind of overpromised and underdelivered. I need you to hook it up at some point.
I'll see what I can do. I don't know
about
the
clubs.
You're
the voice of the Hawks.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They're a little, those are a little different. Now.
Treat me like Timothée Chalamet. Comp me some tickets. Let me eat a glizzy
now,
in the club level.
Tickets? Now, the club levels, I don't think they're doing that for anybody unless.
They're making you pay?
Yeah. Mm. So.
Is Drew Jones still there?
No, he's not.
He's gone?
I think he's in Amarillo, but I'm not 100% positive.
Ah, the pride of Brandon Sprague.
Well, he got hurt last year at some point in the season.
When did he get called up to Amarillo?
I think he started the year there.
Mm. Man.
I'll have to double check.
Well, I need you to hook it up, and we got a busy show today. Brady Henderson's going to hop on.
Yeah.
We're going to run it forward.
Run it forward.
Run it forward, Brady Henderson. Now I kind of run it back with Brady Henderson.
See, running it forward or sailing it forward?
I think he would prefer to sail it forward more than run
too.
It forward, personally. But he's going to join us coming up at 9:30 a.m. We're going to magic hat it up at 9 a.m. I want you to piece together something going on in your life. I think the magic hat is more about what have you been reading, doing, watching, etc.
Mm.
And I know you've been really busy.
Yeah.
But you also, you've had some downtime. What are you doing in your downtime? Why don't you noodle on that? We'll do the Magic Hat coming up at 9 a.m. I efforted for Mike Doc Parker to get on today.
Yeah.
I thought today would be easier than tomorrow.
Exactly.
Doc never got back to me.
Oh.
I don't know if Doc and I are beefing or he just didn't have his cell phone with him. But I wanted to talk about the Eugene Regional with him because I've told you guys, I said it yesterday, I don't know the ins and outs of all the baseball stuff, but I am with Dirt on this. It is exciting to know we got a little bit of a Pac-12
slash
Civil War
situation
going on.
Oh, it's
going
to be spicy down there.
Yeah, it's going to get really spicy. So I wanted to talk to Mike Doc Parker. We'll see if we can make that happen maybe tomorrow. Maybe he'll have time tomorrow. All the games get going, around noon is when Oregon State, Washington State play. So we'll talk a little bit about that. It's a pivotal game 6 tonight in the Western Conference Finals. Are we going to have a team punch the ticket and finally have the other NBA Finals team? We talk about Thunder and the Spurs game 6.
Should be very interesting.
Should be very interesting. We'll talk about that. A load of football stuff to get to today in the NFL with OTAs, college football news and notes. It's going to be a delightful little Thursday. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, we start next on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. 626 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your Thursday commute or your Thursday morning's off to a rip-roaring start. A lot to talk about. We had Kick Times released yesterday. We'll dive into that today. I read in a really interesting article. It's in the NBA. Very interesting article that I shouldn't say blew my mind, but offered context. And it's in relation to something we actually heard yesterday on the radio program that we will tie together with audio that I want to discuss today sometime probably around 8 a.m. We'll get to that. It's a Magic Hat Thursday. So we'll dive into that as well. But I want to start in the association. We'll get to some football stuff coming up at the top of the hour. We got Kick Times to discuss. And some people hot and bothered by Kick Times. Greg Sankey saying, hey, we're actually the best. I love the SEC not winning titles. It makes them sound and look
so
ridiculous.
They don't know what to do. They sound like James Harden.
They really do. Excuse makers left and right. Let's start in the association. We got a pretty pivotal game six tonight. It's do or die for the Spurs.
It is.
And game five was interesting because SGA got off to a slow start. Chet got off to a good start, and then they flip-flop. Chet didn't finish particularly strong. SGA finished as their leading scorer. Caruso and Hartenstein have been awesome in this series, even though in game one, Isaiah Hartenstein wasn't good in the game one, and then we talked about him not playing. He kind of brought it back, figured out how to be productive, what he can do for OKC. And then Caruso, who didn't have such a hot game four, came back game five, and they ended up taking that one, as we noted yesterday. And now today, as we get ready for the biggest game of Wimby's career, as it's just going to continue to be labeled that as his career goes on, he's coming off quite a dud, Swag. Last game, he finished with 20 points, 6 boards, and 3 blocks. He shot 26.7% from the field, and he was 0-for from 3.
Yeah, didn't he only make like one field goal per quarter or something like that?
I think it was something like that. Now, he did end up with 12 points, which is how he got to 20 points.
Yeah, or 12 free throws from the line.
It's the only way he got to 20 points. Here was our buddy, coincidentally, Jason Minix. He was on ESPN Radio yesterday, and he was asked what's going on with Wemby and why he looks the way he looks.
He does look tired, and he's not used to playing this many minutes. And one of the things that we have seen throughout this season, early on it was injury management, and I think he was on that minutes restriction, which was just enough to get him over that 20-minute barrier so he could qualify for the postseason awards and whatnot. But when he has played extended minutes, he's typically a little bit sluggish following those games. And because Luke Kornet is a liability defensively, Wemby's got to play about 40 minutes in every game against Oklahoma City, because when he's out, it's just an open path to the basket for the Thunder. So Wemby has no choice but to play those minutes.
I think it's a very interesting thing. Like, this series is not over. Game six tonight in San Antonio is going to be loud and insane.
Oh, yeah.
Energy's going to be so rampant in that building. I find it interesting the way we're all, it feels like all of us, are kind of talking about this series and where it is and what it was from game five. And now, okay, what is game six going to be? When you watch Wemby, does he look like somebody that's being defended well and schematically what the Thunder have done has worn on him? Or does he look like somebody to you, Swag, that you do buy into the narrative? He is dead tired, and right now he just looks exhausted.
I don't know that he's dead tired, but certainly the switch when the primary defender on Wemby, when OKC went to Hartenstein, he's going to be the primary defender. Him leaning on him, bumping him, having a forearm in his ribs all the time. Anytime he tries to go to the rim, he's got to go through Hartenstein's body, whether there's a foul or not.
Right.
That is sucking the life out of him slowly.
Yep.
And you saw him mainly stay on the perimeter or outside in that game five. You know, he would crash the glass, but he would not initiate offense or look to go post up to catch the ball to start an offensive set, because I think it's wearing on him now. you know, I think over the course, and this is when they say, especially young players, when they get into the playoffs,
they're learning of what this means.
And this
what
is part
is.
Of the learning process,
yes.
Is you have to understand what each single playoff game takes out of you, especially when you are the guy or a primary guy for your team. You are asked to play more minutes. Your coach, if your regular time to get a breather, team starts going on an 8, 10, 12. No, you're going right back in. We can't afford to lose this game. You can sleep all offseason.
Well,
they don't know what that feels like or what that means until you're in it.
Yeah, I think in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, he averaged 29 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at 38, 39, 37. You go back to the double OT game, he played 49 minutes.
And all of those minutes, most of those minutes are high intensity, the physicality is turned up. So yeah, you're getting a lot more drained. I don't know if he's totally fatigued. I think some of it's mental fatigue too.
Well, I think it's just one of those. Yeah, because I don't think it's necessarily fair per se to just say it's fatigue, right? He had 21 in the game two after they won game one, and he had the 41 and 24 game. And look, 21 and 17 with four blocks and six assists is a stellar line for most.
For him, it's his efficiency.
Yes.
Does he do that and there's still other guys, you know, then when they collapse on him, does he whip the ball out and they're getting wide open threes for Fox? Or
I think he just seemed very oddly, and you've seen this with other great players.
It happens.
It happens to all of them, right? Like, and look, there's sliding scales to it. For, let's just use one current player, LeBron James, it's the way the Dallas Mavericks defend him.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it the J.J. Barea thing, but if you listen to a lot of those former Maverick players, they talk about how it was basically a collective effort to say, he's not going to post us up, so how does he want to beat us? Well, let's just force him into this and see if he'll do it. And he didn't do it, and it kind of broke his brain. And, you know, he won multiple championships after that. I think with Wemby, what you see is, to me, not so much tired, fatigue. Like, yeah, his minutes have upped in the playoffs more so in a way than they ever were in the regular season. I think it's a frustration and it's a mental battle of how can I figure out how to impact the game if they're defending me a certain way. I thought Tim Legler had a really good point of he plays so perimeter-oriented. And it's not like it's been the worst thing. He's averaging 28, 11, and 3 in this series. It's more so like, where do you impact the offense for San Antonio? So right now, what does San Antonio have? They've got De'Aaron Fox with a high ankle sprain, clearly dealing with that. He was terrible in their last game. You got Dylan Harper, who I believe was quoted after game one. Did he not say something effective like, that's the hardest game I've ever played in my life? That's game one of the Western Conference Finals, dude. You're 19, 20 years old.
Exactly.
Welcome to the NBA. He had 5 points in their last game.
And he's dinged up.
Yeah, he's been dinged up for a couple series, right? So when you're having production lost in other areas, it's been so OKC-based in this conversation because J-Dub hasn't played mostly in the series. You've lost A.J. Mitchell. Caruso, obviously dealing with some injury that he just suffered. I think it was an ankle tweak. Is what they showed on the replay. He left. He ended up coming back having a good game. But, like, it's been so OKC-based, we're not looking at the other side of it.
Yeah.
If Fox isn't healthy, and Harper's a young player who's kind of going through it.
And Fox's best asset is his quickness and ability to penetrate.
Well,
either get to the rim or
the
break
ankle.
It down. High ankle sprain is not conducive to that.
It makes it really tough. So you start looking around. Well, who do you go to if you're San Antonio? If Fox is limping.
Yeah, you need Champagne to be drilling threes.
Yeah. Vassell needs to get
Vassell
it going.
Vassell has actually been one guy that when he can get up, I think he's elevated his play the last couple of games, understanding, okay, I've got to be an instigator and I've got to give this team some energy and some juice.
Right, but it can't, that's what you're down to.
But that's your third or fourth option normally.
So when you get frustrated and they bottle you up, I mean, you're shooting he only shot 5, right? But those 5 shots, I promise you, for OKC, were like, thank you. I would much rather you shoot a 3 from 26 feet, 28 feet, than be down there and get an easy bucket. Remember the 41-point game, he only shot two threes.
Yep.
41 points, two threes.
Or even when he goes and he's, you know, that whirling dervish and trying to get something up on the rim, sometimes he throws it up there and then he can go.
It's
just,
actually easier for him to do the putback.
And then he can get a putback tap over everybody.
When they won in game four, he had a play.
He had a couple of them that were ridiculous.
He threw it off, and my brother-in-law goes, was that a pass to himself? And I go, probably.
Yeah.
It might not have been the cleanest looking pass to himself, but I bet you he was thinking, yeah, if I throw it here, I can get to the other angle. And he would tip it on the other side with his other hand. So
yep.
He, for all the remarkable moments he's had in this series, that game five was, it was pretty dreadful for him. For him to only have six rebounds and he only has, what, four made field goals? This is where young players start to mold legacy stuff. Not that he's going to be defined by this in any way, but it's the start of it, right? It's the, well, how has so-and-so gotten better in their career? And you go the history of the league, all of them start at this base point of, I kind of got pushed around and my butt kicked in the playoffs my first time, my second time, my third time. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh is when you start to see the greats elevate as they go. And we've noted, maybe he will be unique in this way of like his very first go around, he gets through it. They're not eliminated yet. But I thought what you saw in game five is, hey, here's the biggest game of your life. What is it going to be on the road? Well, you're not getting help from some of your other guys. What are you going to do? Oh, 20 points?
Yeah.
Four made field goals? You got to be a little more impactful than that. The pressure is on him tonight in a huge way. Whereas I look at OKC and I'm like, on the road, yeah, they might understand what could be ahead of them, but the way that they've played and I think had all of their role guys step up, no J-Dub, Chet's not been the most impactful player, and you got these role guys stepping. Caruso might be the MVP of the series right now.
He's been awesome for them in this series.
His worst game is coincidentally the game that they lost in game four.
Yeah, nobody could make a shot for them in game four, and it was just one of those nights.
The
but
tire
that's
thing
a team
doesn't
that,
hold weight for Wemby.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold weight.
The Thunder are a team that have experienced that along the way at some point. It's a stinker. They don't let it. There's no hangover from a stinker. It's like, it's a stinker. It happens. Let's go see if, viewing the tape, if the Spurs did something, tweak something differently that was causing us an issue that we need to address. But other than that, there's no hangover with them. I think Chet is the one guy for the Thunder who you can say, hey, and if I'm – sometimes coaches will look at a matchup or something early on in a game, say, let's feed him the ball a little bit early on.
Right. He got it going at the start of that last game. And I'm like, okay, here he is. And then he kind of trailed off a little bit.
That's the – if I'm Mark Daigneault, I would say, hey, Chet, go get some tonight. This is you. If Wemby's really – the tank's not full.
Yeah, if he's empty,
go get some.
Look, they're the defending champions, so they're not going to be getting out there and be like, oh, yeah. I don't know. They're going to know, like, if we can take this, they're going to take it.
Because if he finds a way, they try to do something or find some sets or a matchup or a way to isolate him in a certain part of the floor, and he goes and gets some, and now Wemby either needs help if he's the primary defender or – no, Wemby, you got to shift over and shade him, and there might be some more open space for SGA later in the game. Then the Spurs are in big trouble.
One element of the series I want to carry over on the other side. We'll get to the kick times, talk a little college football in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. The Fan text line's 503-864-6326. You can reach 105.1, The Fan there. Having some fun here on a Thursday morning. We'll dive into the world of college football. You are looking live at 7 a.m.
Yeah, we got non-conference kick times across the board.
Oregon State pretty much has their whole schedule.
I see a lot of 3 p.m. kick times, and I think that's a great time.
Yeah, there's one element of that I want to talk about, and we got a few of the Oregon games. We got an AD at an SEC school who's quite upset with their schedule. We'll talk about that. We'll dive into Greg Sankey dating every moment the SEC's been victorious and to not fall into the narrative trap because they are the best still. We'll talk about that in hour number two. Brady Henderson will join us at 9:30. So we'll do the Magic Hat at 9, and then we'll do a little football. We got NFL OTA audio to get to today as well. But we were talking about the game six between San Antonio and Oklahoma City, Swag.
Yes.
Did you see, and look, I want it to be known for the record, big fan of Wimby.
Yes.
Big fan of not largely wanting to crap on the new crop of players. I'm hoping in my life, the longer I do this job, the less I age like every other person older than me in my industry, where it's basically like, this era sucks. This sport is not evolving right, and these players are not good. I don't want to become that guy. I'll be honest about players.
No, I love the way the NBA is trying to play. Are they a little three reliant? Would I like to see a better balance and going back and utilizing more space? Yes.
Sure.
But
how's that worked for the Celtics last couple years, by the way? I know they won the title, but lately when they get eliminated, it's Celtics fans going, can we not shoot 65 threes when we're
shooting
20%?
And there's times, too, when I'm doing Pilots games and I'm like, they can beat this team shooting twos. You don't have to. I know that that's the philosophy and you want it, but if threes are not going down.
Sure.
Like, you have good shooters and you have all the analytics and you watch them every day in practice, these guys can knock down open threes. But for whatever reason, on any given night, you're not knocking down open threes. Do something else. That's my biggest frustration across both college and the NBA. But overall, just the aesthetics of the game, the pace of the game, the athleticism in the game. I love watching it more often than not.
Yeah.
We were making references to some of the 90s, NBA finals and the scores and stuff, and it's 78, 74.
The Spurs-Knicks series literally had like a 67 to
88
score.
And it was just, it was brutal.
That's awful.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things, and I still think NBA officiating overall needs an overhaul of massive proportion, and there needs to be a lot more consistency. And I think the one thing that they could do, it'll be ugly when they first do it, because the only way you're going to get NBA coaches and players and teams to do things differently is to make it ugly and let them know you're serious and we're not just doing it for 2 weeks and then we'll back off. They gotta call what moving screens are.
Well, they let that get away from them a lot.
That's single
a call
thing.
That's really for them.
Well, they need to simplify to make it black
holding,
and white.
But it's the equivalent of holding in the NFL. They could call that on every play.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want to call on every play?
Initially, so that they need to get to the fact where the screen is a screen.
I find most of Wimby's screens moving screens. I feel
most
like
of the screens in the NBA are moving
screens. I know,
screens.
But his exceptionally, like the way he comes out, he kind of almost does a push and then rolls instantly. Yeah. Like
it's going to be
already doing
in
that.
Order to get it to change, you're going to have to go with some ugly stuff of Wimby and Jokic getting 3 fouls in 5 minutes in the first quarter to do it.
Yeah.
But the NBA, and I know from who wants to see that, but it's got to change because defenders already, when they got rid of hand checking and they got rid of all this other stuff, it's really hard for defenders to have a chance. That's the one thing they can do because teams can come up with a scheme. How are we going to handle? Because pick and roll offense is 80% of NBA offense.
I love that I went from saying I don't want to be the old guy aging to saying everything sucks to you going on like a 4-minute rant about why the NBA sucks. That was fantastic.
No, I'm saying that's the one thing. If
yeah,
they
but
clean
it's
that
up. It's
the
one thing you talked about for like 3 minutes straight. It clearly is something that's on your mind is the moving screen problem. But
yes.
To me, I say all this to set up this. If you're going to win and you're going to be the post-game interview, that's great. If you're going to have the great quotes and credit your teammates and get all the flowers, that's good. You deserve it. You can't lose and then take your ball and go home and not talk. And that's what happened after Game 5 is Victor Wembanyama did not talk to the media. Dude, sometimes you're going to suffer L's. You got to handle it.
Yep.
And it was one thing to not talk after being concussed in a Blazer game. It's another to lose, not play well at all, according to everybody's standards of you, and then not talk whatsoever. And so I think that's another element of this is like, and I don't know if you've observed or felt this way, but in this series specifically, the Thunder have won 3 of the last 4 games, and they're on the brink of maybe eliminating the Spurs. I don't know about you, but it feels like when the Spurs have won their 2 games, like, game 1 was phenomenal. Double overtime, 41 and 24. Like, oh my God, all-time Wilt Chamberlain-like game. And we talked about it. Everybody talked about it. Oh my, did you see this? Thunder win game two. Thunder win game three. Well, it happened on the weekend, so not a lot of room to talk. Didn't really bring it up, did we? Spurs win game four. Oh my, the Spurs have figured it out. What are the Thunder going to do? Thunder win game five. Wemby didn't play well. It just feels like when Wemby and the Spurs win, and maybe I'm reading into this too much, for me as a sports fan and somebody that consumes sports stuff, it feels like when the Spurs win, it's a massive deal. It's the biggest headliner of all. When the Thunder win, and maybe this is about the reputation of the Thunder, how fans feel about them, it feels like it's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're talking about Wemby and is he tired? And how much of this is just the Thunder? How much of the Thunder the problem? The Thunder are the thing making Wemby play like this. The Thunder are Wemby, are taking Wemby out and not wanting to talk to the media. It's so driven Wemby Spurs, and the Thunder are the ones that are on the brink of winning the series in six games, but it doesn't feel like they've won three or four.
Well, the Thunder are like the very clinical boxer. They don't throw knockout punches. They go to the body. They go to the body. They go to the body. They work the jab. They work the jab. And all of a sudden.
You know the Thunder are? They're Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
They're not fun to talk about. They have a British accent. Yeah, they're a great heavyweight. They don't get nearly the recognition. And I don't know if they're going to knock the Spurs out tonight. They might.
They just
I'm probably going to gamble the Spurs the Thunder. But it's just interesting. You're right. Like, the sexy, more exciting boxer in this would be the Spurs.
Yeah, they're not. The Spurs are Mike Tyson. They're coming out and they're throwing haymakers. But then all of a sudden, something happens and, somebody can take a punch.
Right.
And come back at you. And now what are you going to do?
It's just a fascinating look of like, okay, Wemby doesn't want to talk. He's in his feelings about some of this stuff. And I get it. It's an emotional game. There's a lot on the line. We talk about legacy with these guys. All the time. I get it. It just, from a content standpoint, and I'd probably even put our show in this. We're probably just as responsible. It feels like when the Spurs are winning, it's a massive deal. And it's, oh, can you look at the Spurs? Can you believe this? And then when the Thunder win, it's just kind of a shrug of the shoulders of like, you think Wemby's tired? And maybe that's the freak nature of him. He's 7'5", 7'6". And when he doesn't play well, it's like, you think he's tired? Instead of like, hey, maybe Hartenstein's doing a really good job, and Caruso's been awesome. And how about the Thunder? The rotations. They put Jared McCain in the starting lineup. Kayson Wallace comes off the bench.
Isaiah Joe comes on and drills threes, and you're like,
Kendrick Williams comes in, and you're like, who's that guy? And you're like, well, he's actually a guy who could be an eighth guy on most teams or better. Like, it's just so Wemby Spurs-driven is all my point is on this, of like the narrative-based stuff and the way we view it. And I also think it's partly we hate the Thunder. They flop. Tom Abistrow pointed that out, and it's kind of annoying. But they might repeat as champions. They're on the brink of maybe eliminating the San Antonio Spurs tonight in Game 6. We'll touch back on that in the final hour. Loaded second hour. We got kick times. Got some college football audio to get to. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.